Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word. Praise God. Hey, old Eliphaz is giving Job another good round of it and telling him, hey, if you only did what was right and you weren't such a wicked sinner and a liar, then, you know, and if you would pay your vows, God would bless you and you wouldn't have all this trouble. So, but whatever you do, if you're a minister, don't ever base raising tithe on this chapter. It's false. Okay? It was spoken by a man that was not educated as to what father's actions really are, because he was full of words, hot air, but very few facts that applied to the situation. You can have a good group of facts, but if they don't apply to the present situation, they answer no questions. They solve no problems necessarily. Always be able to focus on the problem of the moment, and tomorrows will take care of themselves, okay? As tomorrow comes and you handle it. So stick to the facts, to that that pertains to whatever it is that you be doing. So with that having been said, chapter 22, a word of wisdom from our Father as we partake of this great book of Job, verse 25, as this Eliphaz continues dressing down Job. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Well, that isn't necessarily true. You know, God blesses with riches, all right, but there are a lot of ifs and things you must do before he... in other words, you've always got to do the work, and then he'll see you get paid. And I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. 26. For then shalt thou have the delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Job had delight in God. He said, if God kills me, I'll still love him and trust him. But just can't seem to focus on reality that is before them. 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Now, this is one they want to hang you with. And probably this is the main one the preacher we were discussing in the last lecture had reference to. Let me ask you something. Always, let's focus just a moment on pay thy vows. Let's say that you make a vow and to God through a particular man or ministry, and all of a sudden it dawns on you that this is a bunch of hypocrites, that they're not truly men of God. Well, you made the vow to God. So never pay vows to God to a hypocrite, all right? Especially one that you know is a rip-off artist. Stop your vow immediately and start paying where you're fed, God's word. You made the vow to God, pay it to God. I know many people get hung up and they receive letters then from the rip-off artist. Well, you're not keeping your word to God. Well, you made the word with God and you're keeping it. And a wise person facing facts is not taken in by a con artist. 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. You know, again, when you look back and know the facts that God has said to Satan, what do you think about my man Job? He stays in my ways. He talks to me, he prays to me, I can count on him. And Satan says, well, why shouldn't he? You have him all hedged in, and the hedge is removed. And Job doesn't quite understand. His friends certainly don't understand. And Job is still searching for God. His friends are blaming Job, and Satan gets a free ride, all right, through the simple fact that people aren't focusing on what the real problem is. Don't worry, God himself will straighten this out in the 38th chapter. Verse 29. When men are cast down, that is to say their pride falls and their old heads hang, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. I mean, if you get rid of a lot of that old pride, Job, just get down where the rubber meets the road, God, and humble yourself, God will forgive. There he sits in sackcloth, my friend. 30. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Well, what he's saying here, Job, if you'll do this, certainly you'll be all right. What does this amount to? This is words, words, words. And all you have to do is be divine and seek divine leadership. Job had been, that's what he had the sackcloth on for. That's why he had been in prayer from the days before his friends even arrived. So, you know, good sayings, though they may be true in certain circumstances, do not fit this occasion. Let's see what Job has to answer. Chapter 23, verse 1. And then Job answered and said, verse 2, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke, or my hand, better translated, is heavier than my groaning. Now, he must have been getting in pretty bad shape by this time. Have you ever done something with rapidity to the point that your old muscles were just so, you were so tired you just couldn't hardly hold your hand up? Especially you'll witness that when you start working over your head. Verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. If I just knew how I could get to God's judgment seat. Now understand, this man says, I'm ready to be judged. Why? Job knows he's innocent. And you know, I want you to just analyze this a moment to this degree. Had his friends truly trusted Job and listened to him, and they had focused on events that were transpiring, they might have figured out among themselves as a unity in God that Satan was causing it. The way it is, they're being pulled in different directions, whereby the focus is certainly lost. Job says, I'm ready to be judged by God. Verse 4, I would order my cause. That is to say, I would put forth my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. In other words, I would analyze it, and in full would I put it before God. Gladly. He's not worried about it. Gladly I would do this. Verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. I would listen intently to what God would say, and I know I would learn the reason for all these problems. I mean, that, do you understand what that does? That shows faith, and it shows trust in God, that God, if he could reach him, would answer. Again, I must repeat, and I suppose that's one thing about Job, you must grow accustomed to repetition, because that's the lesson, is that Satan, if he can have you to busy your mind in other directions, he can saw the bridge right out from under you. He can mess up your life. He will pull your eyes away from that you're supposed to be focused on, blowing smoke, usually in compliments and that sort of thing, until you fall in the ditch. So, learn to focus on reality and the facts present. Verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? Will God do that? Job asked. No. But he would put strength in me. In other words, Job still trusts God. Job knows of a certainty that he is innocent and his friends aren't listening. Verse 7. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. In other words, I would be found innocent and delivered from the judge, meaning set free. I know I would be free. I know I would find the problem, because I'm as innocent as I can be, but I'm not going to argue against God, because I know there's a perfectly sound reason for all things in God's operation. And Job still knew he was in God's operation. He just did not quite understand. But he will. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. and backward, but I cannot perceive him. It seems like I just can't reach God. Why? God is there, and God is pulling for Job. But Job is totally on his own, because God, this is a conflict between Satan and man and God, and it's going to be there right up to the very end, beloved. It began in the garden, and it still continues. How are you in that warfare? It's a spiritual warfare. Can turn physical even. Verse 9. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. I can't see him, but not now, but remember he said, I will someday. That's to say Christ. And he has. There's no doubt about that. 10. Listen to destiny now. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, I'm innocent. I know God is fair and just. And I know that when he tries me, I will come forth in good condition. Beloved, that's why that you always want to please God instead of rather than man. Actually, when you please God, it will please good men and women and children. It will displease those that are against God, but who cares anyway? You don't care what the ungodly think or say. And you, looking forward to that day when you face God, things that you even have difficulty in understanding and comprehending today. He knows, and it will be made right. That is your destiny, is to focus on God's word and pleasing him, and it will please all the people that you really want to call friends. And the others, you are also befriending them in as much as you set a good example of how to follow God as an illustration of in life for them, even the ungodly. Verse 11. My foot hath helped his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. I have not backed away from it. You know, this is great because this is what God stated to Satan. He said, hey, you can do it. God knowing all the time Job's going to hold true. I can count on Job. God knew Job pretty well, so this goes back, when you alleviate anxiety from the first earth age to this age and the one coming, and you take the blinders off sometimes that tradition places there, then you can see and understand why God could be so sure of Job. It isn't written necessarily, but God's respect and trust in Job was not placed there without Job having earned it. You understand? 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth, God's mouth, more than my necessary food. In my very bosom I have esteemed the word of God. I followed it, concerned more for that than the food that is necessary, all right, or an appointed portion. Why? Amos 8, what is it, about verse 13? The famine, especially in this end time, is not for bread, not for food, but for hearing the real word of God. That's what people starve for. Being taught with understanding. Don't you ever doubt God just because man might confuse you. Don't blame God. Blame Satan, blame man, and get to the bottom of it. You get to the bottom by raking away the words from ratchet jaws and get into the word of God and the facts that are present before you in life, and you will find your answers. Verse 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? Can you get God to change his mind? You can count on it. That's why that you can count on the Word of God. God is of one mind, not five or six or seven, though sometimes it's confusing to us at times. Keep praying, studying, and He's always of one mind, and His plan moves forward, usually at the same clip, ultimately, speeding up in the end times as the labor pains are with a woman to bring in the birth of a new age. Who can change his mind and who can turn? No one. Certainly not Satan. And what his soul desireth, can you change that? Even that he doeth, because of God's plan. I wonder if you really know, you know, how can you please God if you don't know what he desires? That's it. Many times entire lives can be changed by that one question. How can you please God if you do not know what he desires? It is very plain and clear what he desires, because in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, he stipulates, I don't want your burnt offerings. That doesn't give me pleasure. That was just simply a penalty of taking the best out of your herds to prove that you love me, but what I really want is your love. And that is what will be sacrificed in the millennium, is your love. Again, Hosea 6:6. Now, if you know that it is your love that God craves, that he hungers for, then why hold back if you truly do love him? Don't be bashful. Let him know. Talk to him. It makes his day. When Satan's up there accusing everyone, just as he did Job, that's why he's called the accuser. God likes to look at him and go, ha, 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 occasionally. Now, many might say, well, that's sacrilegious for you to say God would do that. Hey, he wants to win and knows he's going to win, and Satan is a loser. So it's good for God to be able to put Satan down occasionally, and you're the whip that can do it. Make God proud of you by letting him know how much you love him. That's what God desires. God, you know, I will take that one step further, for I feel someone needs it. In the last verse of Revelation chapter 4, it stipulates there that God created all things for his pleasure. That means you. God created you for his pleasure. He already owns your soul, as it is written in Ezekiel 18:4. So if he owns it, he expects to get pleasure from it. And that's kind of, you know, hello, that's where blessings come from. Please him by letting him know you love him, but don't try to con him. Verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. That's to say, as he wills, as God wills, so it is. We don't know, we as human beings, mortal man, can't always understand, but trust God, he knows what he's doing. Verse 15, Job's giving some very good food here, absorb it, eat on it. 15, therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider, when I think about him, I am afraid of him. I revere him, but I'm afraid not to please him in awesome trembling. I'm going to tell you something. When God really comes close, it is a time of trembling. It's for happiness in a sense, but mortal man can hardly stand the near presence of God. Usually it's the time they hit the deck. Job will do that soon, and you'll hear God's words to a man that falls before him. We'll save that for another time. 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty toucheth me. And it makes my heart faint. It does. Your heart can be tenderized by him. You feel that touch of the consuming fire, which is the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. I'm not so much terrified by my calamities, dreadful as they are. dreadful as they may seem to you. But as by my ignorance of the reason God afflicts me. That's kind of what I'm afraid of right now. I don't understand why God's afflicting me, but I'm trying. And Job never, thank God, never gives up. He sets a good example. Now, I want that to be your attitude, beloved. When things are confusing, don't give up. Keep searching. That is the most beautiful time in your life, is when God is really dealing with you. Call it a test bed if you must, and come through shining like the morning sun, making Father proud of you. That's my boy. That's my girl. Yeah. So proud of them. I love them so much. They never give up. God likes somebody that continues, that has patience, as He has patience. So don't let calamity upset you. I know it hurts. Job certainly made it obvious that the pain hurt from his tears, his eyes and his face swollen from the tears and trying to please God. But he never gave up. That's important. And kind of, I suppose, that's what the lesson is that you're to learn from that 23rd chapter, is that even in this spot of, I don't like the word degradation, but I'll use it, of being down, having lost everything, he didn't lose his faith, because Satan could not touch his soul any more than today, when you have the power and authority, Satan cannot touch your soul. Why? Ezekiel 18:4, God owns it. It's not Satan's. God owns it. And he instructs you as to how to protect it. Chapter 24, verse 1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days? I mean, many can preach doom and gloom, but His judgment is set, and you can see His judgment coming, is what Job is saying here. And he says, hey, I'm ready for it. Verse 2, some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. In other words, you have one group of people that will remove the landmarks of God's Word and put in their place marks of man. Hey, dangerous thing, beloved. That's why you want to stick to God's Word. Man moves landmarks. He changes birthrights. Don't you let anyone steal your birthright from your Heavenly Father. Verse 3. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. I mean, all the poor woman had. Take it. There are people that don't care. Verse 4. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. They have to move into a clump for protection, the poor do. Hey, be aware of what goes on in the world, for there are other peoples following Satan, knowingly in ignorance, that through usury and the four hidden dynasties, I will say, and that confuses some, but it means world control, as it grows mightily in this end generation to take from you and to be able to bring down hardships on the masses of people. They do that. Verse 5. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, that's to say the humble, the poor before God, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. Like nomads they go. And you know, in a way, when you look at people, they are spiritual nomads sometimes, wandering here and there as though they were in the desert, picking up a little food from here and a little from there, from the that is found. Why the wilderness? Well, it is written in the book of Isaiah, woe to those that join house on the house, because that puts you in a one big glob where the ripoff artist can really get to you, you know. Disease spreads quicker, and you are at the mercy of systems more so than when you're in the wilderness or country. Everybody must choose for themselves. Verse 6. They reap everyone his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They come by their food the rough way, all right? Kind of tough. But hey, tough people can handle it, all right? Why? When you trust God, when you know your Father, ingenuity that God has placed in his children is a fantastic thing. We will always make it. Verse 7. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they do have no covering in the cold. Let's continue so you'll understand. Why are they naked would be the question. 8. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. 9. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. What this means is they rob the widow. This would follow verse 3, of course, the widow's ox for a pledge, the thought. But at the same time, they take his cloak for a pledge and leave him naked. You know, you never take a man's last cloak for a pledge. Well, I believe the law of Moses says even that. Give it back to him before night. In other words, before it turns cold, you get the pledge back to him. Verse 10. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaf from the hungry. I mean, they just take... We have a saying in this time that I guess would fit that. They'll take the shirt right off your back. Not one you've got tucked away. Not two or three you have tucked away. They want the one right off your back, leaving you naked. 11. Which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. What this is saying, what Job's getting across, is a beautiful thought. In a land of plenty, where there's plenty of wine and plenty of food, plenty of clothing, plenty of everything, plenty of grain, they are suppressed and brought under to poorness in such a land of plenty. You know, I hope that you're wise enough, beloved, that you use your mind, that you learn to come out from under usury, that you learn to come out of from under the hand of those that would oppress you and beat them at their own game. God will help you with that. He will give you what you are, what you mentally and spiritually can take care of. All right? He'll see to it. And if you, there's no need in suffering in a land of plenty. We can thank Christ for that. For he is the living Word, and the Word tells us how to beat the serpent at his own game. All right? You have power over all your enemies. Let that answer suffice for this moment. And you will find that documented in Luke chapter 10, verses 19 through about 20. Verse 12, here again in verse chapter 25 of Job. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded cried out, yet God layeth not folly to them. It seems like these oppressors come down on our people, and it seems like God lets them get away with it. Beloved, it may seem that on the surface for those that are not educated in God's Word, but we know that God knows everything that moves. And they're not getting away with it. They will never get away with it. Verse 13. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Now, we're working in a different class here this day so that you're not confused. Before, basically, let's classify the they that we were speaking of prior to this as the systems of control through usury, education, political, and religion. You know, religion is used as a control many times. You need to look very high to the head guru, and I'm not talking about cults here, and analyze where their scholarship lies. Does it lie within the Word of God, or is it traditions of the system of religion? Very important. Don't let man con you. Don't let him beat you. Be familiar with your Father. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. That is to say, the door to the Holy of Holies. He tore it from top to bottom so that you could walk right in and partake of the Holy of Holies. That is to say, the Word of God, where no one could con you or deceive you. But now we have a little different type works in here in this 13th verse, and naturally it's the Kenite. Verse 14. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. You might want to know, well, why would you say this was Kenites? Well, read St. John chapter 8, verse 44. The first murderer and the father of it. Verse 15. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. Thinks it. It's just, unfortunately, this becomes a reality, and there's no need in disguising yourself as long as you hide it with words, twisted words. Adultery are unfaithfulness to your mate. You can get away with murder in the courts, especially the higher you go, the easier it is. Simply by saying, this word doesn't mean this, and this word doesn't mean that. And I'll do whatever I want, whether you like it or not. And the populace gets so tired of words, until it becomes a reality in your life that they can get away with adultery, murder, or whatever they want to, and hide it right under your face. Because of words. Am I coming through? Verse 16. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. They can pump nonsense into your home through the little cable hole on your boob tube, or we can pipe in truth of God's Word. Be careful as to what comes through the knothole of your home. Understand what I mean. Communication. You are basically what you communicate with. Garbage in, garbage out. Knowledge in, knowledge out. 17. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death, if one know them. They are in the terrors of the shadow of death. 18. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Do you know why he doesn't hold the way of the vineyards? He doesn't work. You got that? He doesn't work. He's a scab or a scavenger that's going to suck it out of you, that's going to make it off of you. He's not going to get out in that vineyard and sweat and labor like the little folks do. And I'm talking now about Satan's own little children. They'll find a way. They'll do it right in your face, and you'll never know the difference. Most people, they speak a language that hardly, even though they speak your language, there's little click words that they laugh and chuckle about, and you simply nod. It goes over your head. They got pretty good control. 19. Drouth and heat consume the snow waters. so doth the grave those which have sinned. It catches up, all right? 20, the womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. You know, when a tree is truly broken and utilized, the flesh body, that's all that amounts. That's why that one that has no walk with God to attain eternal life, when the flesh dies, they die, basically. Why? Because they're sentenced. They're cursed. So don't you ever for one moment think that sin pays. Don't ever think for one moment. Those that suppress, the little people will say, us, are winning. They're not. They're losing the war. It is the war that has been from the beginning between God and Satan. God always wins. This flesh life is a wonderful life in him. But still, if you're going to have your trials, but that makes life interesting when you know who to turn to, when you know who to trust. And then begins death. Actually is a transformation into a wonderful, wonderful time. And not that we are not to stay every day we can. The law of survival is placed for a reason. Why? God needs you. He has a purpose for you, or you wouldn't be here. A destiny. And you find that in his word. The spurious Messiah will try to find things in his word also. See that you're wiser than the serpent, but as peaceful as the little dove. But let me tell you something about the little dove. She's peaceful all right enough, meaning she doesn't go out and start trouble anywhere, but don't hanky with her nest. Or ounce for ounce, you've got about the fightingest bird on your hand that you've ever come abreast with. Right? Follow the analogies that God gives you to make your life prosperous, blessed, and happy. Find peace of mind in him, even in this earth age. Job just gave some fantastic advice, and I would almost feel that it comes probably as near prophecy as Job will get until we get past chapter 38. Fantastic. Don't miss any more of this book of Job. It's enlightening, and it really has to do with your daily life and how you handle it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?